The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Chayesora.
In the days of Sora, for 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, these were the years of Sora. And Sora died in Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron, Canaan, and Eretz Israel. And Abraham came to be maspid, to say a eulogy for Sora, and to weep for her. And Abraham got up from his bed and he spoke to the Bnei Ches. And here the Torah relates how he wanted to purchase a piece of land from the Bnei Ches in Hebron, in Kiryas Arba. And this was, the Torah tells us, Machpelah, Moras Machpelah, the cave of Machpelah. Just as Abraham was, as we spoke last week, from the cornerstones, the pillars of Klal Yisrael and of the world, so was Sora his wife. And this we can go into and discuss from the Medrash on this Posuk, the Medrash dreams in our Parsha, in Parshas Nun Ches, Os Gimel. Rebbe Kiva hoya yeshe v'derish v'hatzibur miznamnem. Rebbe Kiva was darshanin, he was teaching. And the tzibur, and he saw that the people were becoming drowsy. Bikesh la'eraron, so he wanted to say something which would awaken them. Omar, he said, Mor osa Esther shetimlech al kuf chav zayin medina. Esther, who was the wife of Ahasuerus, and who was the queen in the Megillas Purim, she ruled over 127 medinas, as it states in the Megillah, that Ahasuerus was the ruler of 127 medinas. She asked the question, in what schus, through what merit, did Esther have to rule over these? Eleitovei Esther shehi bas biti shel Sora shekhoi sokuf bechov v'zayin. Esther, who was the granddaughter, the descendant of Sora, who lived for 127 years, so therefore through this she had a schush, she had a power of a team like al kuf chov v'zayin medina, is to rule over 127 empires. This is what Rebbe Kiva said, and he thought that this was something that would evoke great interest. And he said it when he saw that the tzibur, that the community he was speaking to, he was teaching, became drowsy. That Esther, since she was descendant of Sora, and Sora lived for 127 years, it was through this that Esther ruled over 127 medinas. What is the explanation of this? What does Esther have to do with Sora? And why does this have to do with her power of rule? The answer to this is, in the Megillas Purim, it tells us that Ahasuerus ruled over 127 medinas, 127 empires. And the Gemara explains that this was not only the number of empires, but this was Misefa Elamat Sefer, that he ruled the entire world. He was one of the few kings that Gemara Masechta, the Megillah lists off two or three kings or four kings that ruled the entire world. And Ahasuerus was one of them. And this is something which cannot be taken lightly, because for a person to rule the entire world, this is a Keach Elyon, this is a very, very high eternal gift which was given to him. This takes a very great emperor. Like we say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamlich Melochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives the power for kings to reign. If he gave someone the power to reign over the entire world, this was a tremendous, tremendous power. And the fact is, the Gemara brings, the Medrash brings, that Esther, when she was in her anguish that she was a captive by the king, she referred to him in her own company, not in the king's company, but she referred to him as a kelev, as a dog. And later on she thought that this was a chet, this was a sin. So she changed it to an ari, to an aryeh, to a lion. The Maral explains in his Pirush there, because a dog is an animal that is pochus. A dog is not a very important creature in the world. And he wasn't given too many important gifts. And this is an insult to the world and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave someone the power to reign over the entire world, he might have been a Rosh, or he might have been a very wicked person. But this is a tremendous power. This is a sovereignty. And you can't refer, you can't negate it completely and refer to him as a dog. So therefore she changed it and referred to him as the lion. A lion is an animal that was made a king. And so was Ahasuerus. And to rule over the entire world, a person needs a specific quality. Because every nation is different. If a person rules over one nation, he has to be able to control and to lead that nation. Now it's true that every individual is different, but at least people of the same nation are similar. So they can all identify with their king, and their king can identify with them. But to rule over 127 nations, all of the nations of the world, and every nation is different from each other, so this is not what is known as a keach proti, an individual power. This is a keach kloli. The person has to be all-encompassing, where he can rule and lead all of the peoples of the world. And all of the peoples of the world can identify with this person. So we see that it was a very rare, singular power. Now Esther, who was to become his queen, and also the Malka Al-Kola, the queen of the entire world, therefore she had to have also this power. She had to have a power where not only she was capable of becoming a queen, or a queen of a great nation, but a queen of all of the nations. So she had to have the ability to be able to identify with all of the peoples of the world. So this was a very, very rare gift and rare power. And this Esther had. It's because of this, the Maral explains, that the Gemara brings that Esther hi Hadassah. In the Megillah it states her name was Esther and her name was Hadassah. The Gemara asks, am I called Hadassah? Why was she called Hadassah? Because she was like the Hadass, the myrtle plant, which is not long and not short. It's a medium-sized plant. And also there's an opinion in the Gemara, Esther Yirakrukusa, that she was of an olive complexion. What does this signify? She had to be memutza. She could not be of an extreme, but she had to be mid-center. Because to identify with all of the peoples of the world, and that they should be able to identify with her, she had to be of an ability where there was a common denominator, an identification point between her and the people. And therefore she was not made too tall physically or too short, like the Hadassah plant, but of medium height. And her physical makeup also was that of an olive complexion, because in the world you have people who are dark, very dark, you have people who are red, you have people who are very light. An olive, a greenish color, and the color scheme is the midpoint. It's the midpoint between the extreme colors. So therefore, this was her physical makeup, which went hand in hand with her spiritual makeup, that she was able to identify with all of the peoples of the world. An interesting note, that there's a Gemara in another Masechta, which is speaking about the Melech HaMashiach, the king, the Mashiach that will come, B'meirah Yamin. And the Gemara is speaking about what will his name be. So the Gemara brings many of the Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara, and each one says that his name will be so-and-so, and they list their own name. In other words, each one said that the Melech HaMashiach will have his own name. So again, the Maral explains, because the Melech HaMashiach, again, is going to be a Melech Kloli. He's not going to be an individual king. He's going to become an all-encompassing king, where he will lead all of the nations of the world. States that in the time to come, all of the nations of the world will know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through the leadership and the guidance of the Melech HaMashiach, they will know the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will know the Torah, and they will know Klal Yisrael. So he will have to be an all-encompassing person. So what the Gemara is bringing out is that everyone, every individual will have to be able to identify with him. And Hashem Meir Al Etzem, the name signifies the essence of the person. So this means that each individual would be able to see his own essence in this king. Otherwise he couldn't be a king for him. Because a king has to be someone that another person can associate with, can identify and can follow. So he'll have to be able to see in him, in many ways, a reflection of himself. So this is what the Gemara was bringing out, that everyone saw in the Melech HaMashiach his own name. This means his own essence. Because name signifies the depth, the essence of a person. So this was Esther. So now Rabbi Akiva is asking a good question. Through what schus, through what power, did Esther become a queen of Kuf Kov Zayin Medinas, a queen of 127 empires? This wasn't a case of number. This wasn't a case of multitudes of people. This was a case of all of the differences. All of the differences of the peoples of the world. And she was able to become such a queen. So that he brings that we find 127 empires, and here we find 127 years. And one of the principles that we can expound the Torah with is where the Torah uses the same phrase in one place and in another place we can join them together to learn one from the other. So he said it must have been in the schus of Sora. This power she inherited from her ancestor Sora. Now, did Sora have this power? The answer is yes. Where do we see that Sora had this power? Firstly, the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Noach, Vayikach, this is at the end of Parshas Noach, Yud Aleph Posuk Chof Tes. Vayikach Avram ben Nochor, Lehem Noshim. Avraham and his brother took wives. Shem Eshes Avraham Soroy. The name of the wife of Avraham was Soroy. Sora's original name was not Sora, just like Avraham's original name was not Avraham, but Avraham. And Sora's original name was Soroy. Shin Resh Yud. Shem Eshes Nochor Milko. Avraham took Soroy for a wife, and Nochor, his brother, took Milko. Milka was Bas Horon. Milka was the daughter of Horon. That was the third brother. There were three brothers, Avram, Nochor, and Horon. And Avram and Nochor married nieces. So Nochor married Milka, the daughter of Horon, and Avraham married Soror, who also was the daughter of Haran. Then the Torah tells us that Haran was Avi Milcah. Haran was the father of Milcah, the Avi Yisko, and the father of Yisko. So the question is, who's Yisko? Where does Yisko come in here? We're speaking of Soror, and we're speaking of Milcah. And these were the daughters of Haran, and it tells us Haran was the father of Milcah and the father of Yisko. Who was Yisko? So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Zu Soror. Yisko was Soror. So therefore, the Torah is referring to Soror by two names. She was Soror and she was Yisko. And she was the daughter of Haran. What does the name Yisko mean? Rashi gives three meanings in the name Yisko. Hashem Sesecha Beruach HaKodesh Ushakol Sechin B'Yofyo K'mei Shinema V'Yiro Yisei Sori Pare. Yisko means to Secho means to look, to gaze. Because she could gaze with Ruach HaKodesh, she was a prophetess. We find later in the Torah she was a prophetess because she wanted to chase away Yishmael, and Avraham was very upset over that. And she said no. She said, Lo yirash zeim b'niim Yitzchok. He will not inherit with my son Yitzchok. And he's a bad influence, and chase him away. And Avraham still was very upset. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kol ma sheteimar Soror, shma b'keilo. Whatever Soror tells you, listen to her. She could see further than Avraham. Avraham could not see, could not forecast the future. Soror could. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whatever she says to you, you must listen, because she is able, Yiskor, she is able to see a little further. And the Chazal say, Rashi brings there, Mikan, She Avraham Tofel Lesora Benevios, Benevua. That we see that Avraham was secondary in prophecy when it came to Soror. So Soror was a prophetess, Ruach HaKodesh, and that's one meaning of the name Yisko, to see. Another meaning is that people would gaze at her because of her beauty. The Gemara Masechet Megillah tells us that they were, it lists off there three or four or five women that were the most beautiful women of creation of all times. And the first is Soror. And we see that when Avraham came down to Egypt, every time he traveled, he had a problem with her. Because when he came down to Egypt, so they took her, and they took her to Paray. And when he traveled again out of Eretz Yisrael, when he went to the south, Avimelech, the king, took her. Now this wasn't a question of abducting a beautiful woman. Because if they were merely interested in abducting a beautiful woman, so why did she end up in the court of Paray or in the court of Avimelech? But the Chazal tell us that they said, Zu ruya l'malchus. She is fit for a king. When they saw her beauty, they said, she's fit for a queen. She's fit for a king. So they took her to Paray, or they took her to Avimelech. So this was another reason why her name was Yisko, because they would all gaze at her beauty. And another interpretation Rashi gives is Yisko's from the word Nesichus, which means a princess. And then he brings Kimei Soror, Loshen Soror. So we see both of these names. Yisko is from the word Nesichus, which means a princess. And Soror also comes from the word Sar, which means a princess. So we see that her own name explained to us that she also was a queen. Then we find more than that. At the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes Avraham's name, In Parshas Lech Lecha, Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes Vov. Vayem Elokim el Avraham, Hashem said to Avraham, Sarai Ishtecho leSikra Shmo Soroi, Ki Soro Shmo. Sarai Ishtecho, your wife Sarai, you shall no longer call her. Her name shall not be Soroi, but Soro, Soro Shmo. The Yud will be changed for a Hey. Uverachti Eso, and I will bless her, V'gam Nosati B'mena L'chovein, and I will give her a son from you. Uverachti Eso L'goyim Malchim Amim B'mena Yiyu. I will bless her, and she will be for the nations. Malche Amim B'mena Yiyu. Kings of nations will come from her. So here we see again that she's going to become a queen, but more than a queen. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu change her name from Sarai to Soro? So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Sarai is mashman liva leila acheri. Sarai means Sar Shali, my princess, my queen, but not a queen for others. So she was Avraham's queen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, she's not Avraham's queen. Ki Sora stam shmo. Shetei Sora alakol. She shall be a queen for the entire world. She will not be only your queen. Sarai means my queen. She will be Soro. She will be a queen for the entire world. This is why her name was changed. And this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give her a son. I will bless her. She will be for the nations. And Malchei Amim, Mimenu Yud. Kings of nations will come out from her. So we see now that Soro not only was a queen, but Soro, alakol, she was a queen for the entire world. And this had to be. Why? Because Avraham was a king for the entire world. If we go to Parshas Lech Lecha, and Yud, Parshas Lech Lecha, just Tes Zayin, the Posuk Dalet. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, Ani hinei v'risi itoch v'yisala av hamein goyim. I'm going to make my covenant with you. I'm going to make my covenant with you. Excuse me, this is Yud Zayin. Yeah, Parshas Yud Zayin Posuk Dalet. Ani hinei v'risi itoch. I'm going to make my covenant with you. V'hoyisu la'av hamein goyim. And you will be a father of a multitude of nations. V'le'ikore eide shimcha Avram. We will not call your name anymore Avram. Al beis reish mem. V'hoye shimcha Avraham. But your name will be Avraham. Al beis reish heimem. We will add a hey. Because I am making you an av, a father over a multitude of nations. And I will multiply you exceedingly much. And you will become nations. And kings shall come from you. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Avraham also. Not only where he was merely a king, but he was king over everyone. Rashi tells us, he brings from the Chazal, what was the significance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his name from Avram to Avraham. Before it was Avram without a hay, and now it's Avraham with a hay. So Rashi tells us, B'tchilo shelohoya avel Aram shuhu mekeimei. Avraham came from a place called Aram Naharaim. Bitchilo, in the beginning, you were only a father over your place. In the beginning, you were only a father in your place. So therefore, you were called Avram, which means Av, father, Aram, which is your place. Achshav av lechol ha'elam. But now you're becoming an Av, a father to the entire world. Therefore, no longer will you be called Avram, but you will be called Avraham. We added a hey, which means Av Hamein Goyim. No longer are you a father to Rome, you are a father to multitudes of nations. So we see that Avraham also was a king over the entire world. And this we see from other places also. For example, by the war of the in Lech Lecha, by the war with the four kings and the five kings, after Avraham intervened and he helped the five kings defeat the four kings, in Lech Lecha Yudalet Posuk Yud Zayin, Vayetze Melech Zdeimli Kreise Acharei Shuve Mahakreises Kidlo Ome Vesamalochim Asher Itoi. So the king of Zdeim came out to meet Avraham El Emek Shove Hu Emek HaMelech, to the valley of Shove, which is called the valley of the king. Why was the valley of Shove called the valley of the king? Rashi brings Umedrish Agodo Emek Shohushfu Sham Kol HaUmesh. This was the valley which all of the nations agreed upon, and they all came together, v'himlichu es Avraham aleihem, and they crowned Avraham as a king over them, l'nosiel l'nesiel l'kim l'kotzi, that he shall be the prince of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a ruler over them. So Emek Shaveh was called Emek HaMelech, because this was the place where all of the nations gathered together, and they all agreed with one voice to crown Avraham as a king over all of them. That Avraham was known as the Nasi Elakim, he was the prince of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Almighty. And in last week's shiur, we went into this, that Avraham was not only a cornerstone of Klal Yisrael, but he was a cornerstone of the world. He was the cornerstone of the world. As the Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that the entire world was in a situation of becoming lost. After the 10 generations from Adam Arishon, from the first man, and after the 10 generations from Noah, the entire world was becoming lost because they had all forgotten that the Almighty existed and that He created the world and He ruled the world. And it was Avraham who understood this and brought this light to the world and campaigned against all of those who were against this principle and was victorious. And therefore Avraham was known as the light of the world. And if there is any reason why the name of the Almighty exists in the world today, this was because of Avraham. This is what the Chazal tell us. And therefore all of the nations of the world who believe in the Almighty, they're all considered the sons of Avraham, because they're His Talmidim, they're His disciples. And we quoted last week a halacha from the Yishalmi that the Rambam paskens in Hilchos Bikurim, that by the first fruits of the land there's a mitzvah that you must bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, to the temple, and you have to read a parsha. You read a portion from the Torah, and in the Torah you say what happened to your fathers, Laveisenu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this land to our fathers. So there's a question in the Gemara. What happens if a person is a convert, a ger? Can he read the parsha? Because he cannot say what happened to our fathers. We're referring to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he cannot say that the land was given to my fathers. So the Rambam paskens like the Yishalmi, that states that ger is mevi vekere. A ger can bring the Bikurim and can read the parsha. Why? Because he's a son of Avraham Avinu. Because anyone who's nichnes tachas kanfi ashchina, anyone who comes close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becomes a son of Avraham Avinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're an Av Hamein Goyim, you're the father of all of the nations of the world that will come to Him, that will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he can say La Riseinu. And he can say that the land was given to my fathers because it was given to Abraham. This is what the Yishalmi says, and this is what the Rambam brings. Rashi in Chumash, in that Parsha, says not like that. He says like the Bavli, that Ger is maybe Veina Kedish, and Yochalem al Aviseinu. But the Yishalmi says not like that, and the Gemara brings the Yishalmi brings the Halochas the other way. This is how the Rambam paskens. So this gives us another insight into Abraham. And we have a further insight into Abraham in this respect in our Parsha. In our Parsha, where he instructs Eliezer to go find a wife for his son Yitzchok. So he tells Eliezer, this is in Breishis in Chai Sora, Breishis Chov Gimel, Posse Gimel. So he tells Eliezer, Vashbiacha Bashem Elekei Hashemayim Elekei Oretz, that I will make you swear by the name of Hashem, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, that you shall not take for my son a daughter from the Canaan. Then a few psukim later, in Posuk Zayin, where Eliezer tells Abraham, what happens if I go to this place where you're sending me, to your father's family, and there is a fine young girl there, but she will not come back here, she will not come to Eretz Yisrael, shall I take Yitzchok there? Should I return Yitzchok to the land which you have left? So Avraham says, Yishom Elecho. He says, no. Guard yourself carefully. Do not return my son there. Hashem Elokei Hashomayim Asher Lokachani Mibeis Ovi. Hashem, the God of the heavens that has taken me out of my father's house, U'me'aretz Malarati, he has sworn that this is our land. Now, just a few psukim before, Abraham quoted the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. Here he says, the God of the heavens, not the God of the earth. Hashem Elokei Hashamayim, the God of the heavens that took me out from my father's house, that said, Lech Lecho Me'atzecho. But before he said, I will make you swear by the name of the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. So what is the difference? So Rashi explains, Achshov, today who Elokei Hashamayim Elokei Oretz, today he's the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. She hergalti b'fi abriyos, because I have taught the people about God. So today he is not only known in the heavens, he's known on the earth also. But when he commanded me to leave my father's house, then he was only the God of the heavens, because the people of the earth didn't recognize him. He was not known in the land. So Avraham said before, when he told me to leave, he was just the God of the heavens. Today he's the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. Shehergalti b'fi abriyos, because I am the one who taught the people about God. So Abraham is capable of saying this, that today he is the God of the earth also, because I taught people of him. So we see that Abraham was not merely a great person, he was not merely a king in Israel, but Avraham and Goyim, where he was a king over in the entire world. And therefore, Sarah, who was to become his queen, also had to be a queen of the entire world. So therefore, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Avraham's name and said that you will not merely be Avram, the father of Rome, but you will be Avraham and Goyim, the father of multitudes of nations, the same with Sora. She will not be Sarai, your princess. She will be Soro, the princess of the world. Princess Alakol. So this quality we see in Sora. Now this quality that Sora had, she gave over to her children. Where do we see this? Firstly, we see it from what we quoted before at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Avraham's name and her name. Now the Reish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out of Avraham's name, before it was Avram and now it became Avraham, the Reish really should have been eliminated, because before it was Avram, Av, the father of Rom, and now it was Av Hamein Goyim, the father of multitudes of nations. So the Reish should have been eliminated. But since the Reish was given to Avraham, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want to eliminate it. On the other hand, though, by Sora, we find that a letter was eliminated, because her name was Sora, her name was Sorai, and now it became Soro. So the Yud was eliminated in exchange for the Hay. What happened to the Yud? So now she brings the Medrash, that the Medrash says, states, that the Yud came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, just because I'm the smallest of all of the letters, therefore you eliminate me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, you won't be eliminated. We're going to use you someplace else. Where was the Yud used? The Yud was used in Parshas Bamidbor, in Sefer Bamidbor, Yud Gimel Tes Zayin. Parshas Shlach, where Moshe was sending out the Meraglim, the scouts, to scout the land. So the Torah tells us, Elish Mesh Anoshim Asher Sholach Mesh Lasura Tzoretz. These are the names of the people which Moshe sent to spy out the land. Vayikra Moshe Leisheh Binun Yahishua. Yahushua, his name originally was Heshea. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe added a name, a letter to his name. And he added the Yud and called him Yahishua. Why did he add the Yud? Moshe was Mispalo. He said a tefillah, he said a prayer. Yud is the letter of Hashem's name. Hashem should save you from the evil counsel of the spies. So he gave Yeshua another letter. Instead of being known as Hoshea, he was known as Yehoshua. So the Medrash tells us that this Yud came from Sora's name. Her name was Soroi. Now it was changed to Soro. What happened to the Yud? This was given to Yeshua. We see that Sora gave from her power to her children. And Yeshua also was to become a king. The Torah tells us Yeshua was a king, a great king. He was the one who took over from Moshe Rabbeinu, V'hinchel es Oretz, and he was the one who conquered Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a king that his splendor was kipnei hachamo, like the splendor of the sun. Yeshua was kipnei halavono, like the splendor of the moon. So this, he was tapping the resources of Sora. The Gaon writes that we see that tachlis ha'ovah is reish habonim. The Yudas was from the end of Sora's day. What was at the very end of the Oves, of the fathers, this became the source of the children. So we see that Sora gave this over to her children. Another place where we see that Sora gave this to her children is in the Medrash of this Parsha. The Medrash asks the question. In Parshas Chayei Sora, in our Parsha, begins right after an episode where the Torah tells us, it was after these things that happened, and it was told to Avram saying, "Hinei yoldo milko gamhi bonim lenochor achicho." If you recall, we mentioned that Nochor, Avraham's brother, he married Milcah. So it was told to Avraham that Avraham's brother and sister-in-law had children, and the Torah lists off the children. And then a grandchild was born, Ubesula Yolades Rivka, and her name was Rivka. Now, why is this parsha written immediately next to the subject of Vayuchai Sora, to the death of Sora? So the Medrash tells us in our parsha, Oz Beis, in Kehelis it states, V'zorach HaShemesh U'boh HaShemesh. Shlomo HaMelech said that the sun will shine and the sun will set. We see that every day the sun shines and the sun sets. So the Medrash asks the question, what's Shlomo telling us? Shlomo was the Chochom Mikol Odom, he was the wisest of all men. So is he telling us that the sun shines and the sun sets? I mean, anybody can see that, that every day the sun shines and the sun sets. So the Medrash says, now Shlomo is telling us something very wise indeed. He didn't say that the sun sets and the sun shines. He says that the sun shines and the sun sets. First there's the light of the sun, and then there's the darkness that comes from the lack of the sun. This means the world is never left without light. Not that the sun sets and there's darkness and then the sun shines. He wrote, V'zorach HaShemesh U'bo HaShemesh. First there is light and then there is darkness. And what does this teach us? V'chi ein onu yoedim shezorach HaShemesh U'bo HaShemesh Ela ad shelo yashkia HaKadosh Baruch Hu shimshei shel tzadik zeh Hu mazriach shimshei shel tzadik chaveroi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu does not leave the world without light. And when he wants to take a light away from the world, he does not take it away until he brings a new light first. And therefore the Gemara, the Medrash brings many cases, Yom Shemes Rebbe Kiva Neilev Rabbeinu. Rebbe Kiva, who was from the greatest sages of the Mishnah, he didn't die until his Memale Mokem, until the one that would assume his greatness and his position was already born. On the day that the one who was to assume his responsibility was born, only then did Rebbe Kiva die, not before, in order that the world should not be left with darkness. And the Medrash brings many, many cases. When Rabbeinu didn't die until Rav Abba Bar Abba was born, Rav Abba Bar Adda didn't die until Rav Abban was born, so forth, many such cases. We see that Moshe didn't die until he had already crowned Yeshua. So there should not be any absence between this light. So then the Medrash tells us this is the reason why the smichus, that these two subjects, the end of the previous parsha and this parsha, are written next to each other. Ad shele hishkia HaKadosh Baruch Hu shimshe shel Sora hizriach shimshe shel Rivka. That before HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the light of Sora in the world, he brought the light of Rivka. That's why first it says hinei yoldo milko gam hiboni. First it says that Milka gave birth and Bisrael gave birth and Rivka was born, and then it says Vayuchai Sora Meyashona, that Sora died. This is what it means, V'zorach HaShemesh U'bo HaShemesh Ad Shelei Yashkia Shimshel Shezea, before the sun of this one sets, Yazriach Shimshel Shezea, the sun of the other one, of the next great person will shine. So what do we see from here? We see that the one who was to take over the position in history from Sora was Rivka. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow Sora to die until Rivka was born. So we see that these powers that Sora had, she gave to her children. Because if Rivka was not capable of taking over that position, so then it could have been that, so then even after Sora died, it was Yashkia Shimshel Shelzeh. Even after Sora died, there was darkness in the world. So we see that the light which was to replace Sora was Rivka. This means these qualities of becoming a queen over an entire world, this was given to Rivka. It's for this reason that Avram Avinu wanted Davka, Moras Machpela. Avram came and he looked for a place to bury Sora. So it said he went to the Bnei Ches and he negotiated. And they gave him a difficult time. Why was Avraham going to Hebron? Why was he going to Hebron and why was he going to this place? He wanted to bury in Eretz Yisrael, but there are many places he could have buried in Eretz Yisrael. Avraham also owned land in Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he bury in the land that he owned in Eretz Yisrael? Why did he have to go buy a piece of land from the children of Ches? Odom v'Chav, the first man and first woman, were buried in the cave of Machpelah. And Avraham knew this. And it cannot be for an insignificant reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this place to bury Odom and Chava. And this Avraham knew also. And if this was the place for Odom and Chava, and they were the Oves HaElim, they were the physical founders of the world, they were the first founders of the world, Avraham realized that this was a place for Oves HaElim. This was a place for the fathers of the world. And a father is someone who gives birth to the world. So Avraham knew that this was the place that Adam and Chava were buried, and that he was to bury Sora, because Sora was a mother of the entire world, and that he was to be buried there. And it's called Kiryas Arba. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? He Hebron. So Rashi brings, because Arba Zugais, four couples are buried there. Adam and Chava, and Avraham and Sora, and Yitzchok and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. All of the Oves, the patriarchs, and all of the Imos, the matriarchs, are all buried there, with the exception of Rachel. And she was buried al haderech, she was buried on the way, for a different reason. But why those and not others? Because Avraham knew that this was the place for the Oves HaElam, for the builders and the cornerstones of the entire world were to be buried there. It's a very special place. Actually, the Chazal indicate to us that Adam and Chava were created in Gan Eden, and then they were chased outside of Gan Eden and they lived nearby. And this spot has a particular link with Gan Eden. But this was the place for the Ovisite. And he knew the qualities of Sora, so therefore he wanted this place. So this is what the Rekiv is telling us. He says that with what quality did Esther able to rule over 127 empires? Not that merely she was a ruler over a great multitude, over many people. She was a ruler over the entire world, which means that she was a holy, all-encompassing. Where did she get this quality? This she inherited from her ancestress, from Sora Yimeno, who was 127 years old. And this was the quality that Sora brought into the world. One final note. We find that Sora had two names, as we mentioned. One name was Sora, And one name was Yitko. The Goraya asked a very good question. He says that we find Yitko, the name Yitko, only written when we're speaking of her father. It states, Vayikach Avram v'nocha lehem noshim, same Eishes Avram Soroy, when it refers to her as the wife of Abraham, it calls her Soroy. And then it says, Avi Yisko, Horam was the father, doesn't say the father of Soro, was the father of Yisko. So we see that when Sora is referred to as the wife of Abraham, there she's called Sora. And that's why all the time later on she's called Sora. I believe this is the only time in the Torah she's referred to as Yisko. When she's associated with her father, Horan was the father of Yisko. There she's called Yisko. And then the Torah tells us again. It says, Vayikach Terach. Terach took Abraham. And Lot and Horam. And then it says, Sora, his daughter-in-law, the wife of Avram. So again, there it's, Terach is taking his daughter-in-law. A daughter-in-law, that means a son's wife. So it's associating her with Avraham, and it calls her Sora. So why, whenever she's associated with Avraham, she's referred to as Sora? And when she's associated with her father, she's referred to as Yisko. So Gorai says as follows. The main meaning of Yisko is the first two interpretations that Rashi brought, from Loshen Socher, to gaze. And this refers to her power, of prophecy. Actually, the Gorai doesn't mention this, but we could say also that Rashi says, Sha'akol Sochim B'yofyo, this also refers to her beauty. This also would fit in very well. So this refers to her power of prophecy. Yitko. He says that a woman actually has two dimensions. She has two dimensions, and she really has two makeups. One which she receives from her father, because she's born to her father. And one which she receives from her husband. There's a Gemara, an interesting Gemara, a very strange Gemara, in Masecht Soter. That the Gemara says that Anais Isha L'Shem Shemayim Kili Yoldo, that if a person marries a woman, L'Shem Shemayim, a person marries a woman, L'Shem Mitzvah, is Kili Yoldo. To a degree, it's as if he's giving birth to her. Because a husband perfects a wife. The wife reaches perfection through her husband. So just like a person when he's born, genetically, he receives many, many abilities and many, many attributes and many, many perfections genetically from his or her parents. A wife also receives attributes and abilities from her husband. So every woman really has two dimensions, two makeups. The ability of prophecy in Sora that didn't come from Avraham. Sora was great because she was the wife of Abraham, but we must realize that Sora was great in her own right also even before Abraham. The ability to prophesize, the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu or to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is ability she had before Abraham. And the proof of this is because Kashatemu Sorosh Mabekeilo. Because if it came from Avraham, then it wouldn't be possible that Sora would be greater in this than Avraham. Yet when she said, chase away Yishmael, and Avraham said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen to Sora. She knows better. That Avraham was a Tofel of Sora ben Avios. Sora was greater than Avraham in prophecy. So this is ability that she received before Avraham. So therefore this is not attributable to Avraham. It's not attributable to Avraham. And this is what's in the meaning of her name, Yizko. And therefore it's associated with her father. So wherever Sora is associated with her father, she's called Yizko. Abi Yizko. In the same vein we can say with her beauty. Her beauty didn't come from Avraham. She was beautiful before she met Avraham. And the Yizko refers to Hakol Seichi B'Yofyo. They would all gaze at her beauty. So this is her name, therefore, when she's associated not with Avraham but with her father, she's called Yizko. But in all other places where she's associated with Avraham, there she's called Soro, Sorai or Soro. Because this ability to become a queen over the world, this is an ability that she received from Avraham. Because we see that first HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Avraham. He said, no longer are you Avram, but you're Avraham. No longer are you a king over Avram, but you're a king over the entire world. And then he said, Asora, and Sora also I shall make a queen over the entire world. So this was the ability, this was the attribute she received from Avraham. Therefore, when she's associated with her ancestors, she's called Yizko. When she's associated with Avraham, she's called Sora. From all of this, we see two things. Firstly, we see the greatness of the powers of the Ovish. And secondly, we see that the Imaos, Sora, Rivka, Rochel, and Leah, they played as a great role in some dimensions, perhaps greater. In other dimensions, together with the Ovisa Olam, with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And together they became the Ovisa Olam, founders of Klal Yisrael, and their influence and inspiration went to the entire world and to the entire creation. Like we see, they are the only ones who are buried in the cave of Machpelah together with Adam and Chava, the first man and woman. And they gave these powers unto Klal Yisrael. We should all be zeche to learn and to understand what these great powers were, and in our degree, to emulate them. Even though it's impossible for us to emulate them completely, there's a Gemara that states that every person is obligated to say, Mosai, Gia Maiso, Masai, Lemaisa Avesai. That when will my deeds equal the deeds of our fathers? So therefore, it's very important for us to study their deeds and to strive at least to reach some degree of these deeds.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.